The title of the message this morning is Trust the Seed. Trust the Seed. I have been spending a lot of time in Mark. And we're going to be in Mark chapter 4 this morning. And as you look on the outline, you'll see that I'm recommending two series to you. One is from our pastor. It's series S101. It's called Living the 100-Fold Life. And then there's Pastor Dave's series called Unmasking Satan's Tactics. I highly recommend those to you because they provided the foundation for some of the things I'm going to share this morning, simply because of the fact I've listened to them, I've gone over them, and I've allowed the Lord to work in me to bring some things out. But before I do, you know, Pastor's not here. And so I don't want you to miss him too much. And so I asked Pastor before he left, could I tell some jokes? And then, of course, my wonderful, loving brother in Christ says, you know, your jokes are worse than Pastor's. So, in keeping with that, Why was the tomato all red? It saw the salad dressing. Why is it not a good idea to take an airplane flight in the winter? Because Jesus said, pray that your flight be not in the winter. Oh, you're really going to love this last one then. Yeah, this is going to be the last one. Oh, would you like another one, Sister LaFay, after this one? It says, during a recent password audit, it was found that an employee was using the following password. Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, Huey, Louie, Dewey, Donald, Goofy, and Sacramento. When asked why she had such a long password, she just rolled her eyes and says, duh, hello. It said to be at least 8 characters and include at least 1 capital. Well, Brother Lee, do I still have my place of telling the worst jokes than Pastor? You know, I thought that last one at least, you know, kind of dig me out of that hole. Yeah, but it did not. Eight characters and a capital. Praise God. In Mark chapter 4, Mark, most historians agree that Mark is, in a way, Peter's autobiography, because Mark wrote the epistle based on his conversations with Peter. And so when you read Mark, look how choppy it is. It's not like Luke, which is flowery and all this sort of thing. It's really choppy. And so it would be in keeping with probably how a seaman talks, functions, and things like that. But the one thing I want you to keep in mind is when we read Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching a kingdom principle. A kingdom principle, okay? And So the people he's talking to on the shoreline, a lot of them are farmers. So they will understand the parable very quickly as he shares it. And the interesting thing about what he's going to do, when you think about the parable of the seed, how Jesus describes what happens to the seed is what happens to it in real life. Okay? In real life. So let's begin with verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. Wait a minute. He entered into a ship and sat in the sea. Which one did he do? Was he in the ship or was he sitting in the sea? Okay, that's even worse, wasn't it? So he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them his doctrine. So we see then that what we are about to read is just one of the things that Jesus taught. It's just one. And notice in particular, it says he taught them in his doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, doctrine. We're about to read doctrine. Okay? He says, hearken, behold. He's using two words at one time to say, listen, stop whatever you're doing and pay attention to what I'm about to say. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, this is the first of three seed parables we're going to read this morning in this chapter. One of three. Okay? Now, if Jesus is talking about the seed in three different parables, don't you think maybe the seed is a little bit important? Think so? Okay. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. There went out a sower to sow. So the sower went out. This was a purposeful decision. Okay? Now, what is my point? When it comes to sowing the word, it's not something that we do haphazardly. We do it on purpose. And when you do something on purpose, ladies and gentlemen, you make time for it. It's just not something that's a passing fancy. You make time to do it because you're doing it on purpose, because there is a reason behind doing it. Okay? Let me step back for a moment. My purpose this morning is not to try and reteach what Pastor has taught in his series or what Brother Dave has taught in his series. That's not my purpose at all this morning. My purpose this morning is to share some things that the Lord shared with me. Okay? And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. When a sower sows, he reaches into his bag and he's scattering seed. That's what he's doing. Okay? He does not go back and plow the ground until later. So he's just scattering the seed. Okay? And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowl of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root. It withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Verse 9, and he, Jesus, said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let them hear. Okay? We'll clarify that in a minute. Verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him, with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven. Okay? Now, how many of you, we just read these verses, how many of you say that it sounds like Jesus is trying to keep something from those other than the disciples? Is that what it sounds like? He's saying that I'm speaking to you in parables because I want you to see and I want you to hear. Is that what it not sounds like? Okay. I have a question for you. If Jesus is purposely teaching something that he does not want someone to understand, does anyone else have a problem with that? Yes, we have a problem with that. Because, see, in the New Testament it says, I am come, they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I think it's in Thessalonians, it says, I want all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That may be Timothy. So if that is the truth, then why would it seem like Jesus is teaching something that he does not want people to understand? Because, verse 12, lest at any time they should be converted and they should be and their sins should be forgiven them. It's almost like he's saying that I'm not going to let you understand this parable because I don't want you to be converted and I don't want your sins forgiven. Does that sound like Jesus? No. Then what are we seeing here? Let's go to Matthew for some clarification. We're going to look at the same story. Hold your finger here in Matthew chapter 13. One of the things that I really appreciate about pastors teaching, what he does at the beginning, he takes all of these records in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and he combines them so that you can read the whole thing and see what every different gospel puts in, but he puts it in order so you read the whole parable. Okay? So I really encourage you to do that. But let's begin with verse 10 in Matthew chapter 13. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Sounds like Jesus saying, because I want you to know, but I don't want them to know. Let's keep reading. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he had. So Jesus is saying, based on what we're reading, that whoever has the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, he's going to get more. And whoever does not have the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, he's not even going to get any more. He's going to get less. Okay? Let's keep reading. Therefore, speak out to them in parable, because they see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Okay? Remember back in Mark chapter 4, verse 9 says, Let them who have ears to hear, let them hear. Okay? Let them hear. So, you have ears, right? Let them hear. So you are either making the decision to hear or not hear. You see? Okay, we're going to see this. Verse 13. Therefore, speak out to them in parable, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15. For this people's heart is what? Wax gross. And their ears are what? Dull of hearing. And their eyes have been closed by someone else. No, their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time that they should see with their eyes. Do you see this, ladies and gentlemen? They are closing their ears. They are closing their eyes to the parable. Okay? Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. In other words, they are refusing what Jesus is offering. They're refusing, okay? But he says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Why are their eyes seeing and their eyes hearing? Because they are letting them hear. They are letting them see. Okay? So when you read these verses in Mark chapter 4, we're going back to Mark chapter 4, Jesus is not saying that he is the one preventing them from hearing, that he is the one preventing them from seeing. They are doing it because of the hardness of their hearts. Okay? I want you to see and understand that, because so many have taken this and say, this is another one of these verses for predestination. Okay? These are two verses for predestination. We just unpredestined them. Okay? We just unpredestined them. Now look at verse 13. And he, Jesus, said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how shall ye not know all parables? Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. Okay? And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Fill in the blank. They did not trust the seed. They did not trust the seed. Let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to belabor this point. Can Satan come and steal anything that you are holding on to? No, sir, no, ma'am. So when it says that Satan cometh immediately to take away the word, he's looking, he wants to take it away immediately. You have the responsibility of stopping him. You have the responsibility of stopping him. Just for right now, during this message, I'm sowing the word. Okay? Now you have a decision to make before you walk out this door, because see, he's gonna try to start stealing the word even as it's coming out of my mouth. You have to be the one to stop him from stealing the word. Satan has no power over you, ladies and gentlemen. He has nothing over you. It's the other way around. It's the other way around. But see, if we don't hold on to the seed, if we don't hold on to the word of God, then that gives Satan an advantage over us. Okay? So, and these are they which by the wayside where the word of God is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Why? Because they refuse to hear. Do you see this? What does Jesus say in verse 9? Let he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, let him hear, let him obey, let him hold on to it. So if that is what the criteria is for hearing, then we see here in verse 15 that those who were by the wayside, they've heard, but they refuse to hold on to it. They refuse to hold on to it. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not talking about Joe Blow Sinner. He's talking about Harriet Christian. He's talking about us. We are the ones who are refusing to hold on to it. But Brother Barry, how can I be the one refusing to hold on to it? Because I read it. I read the Bible. I dust off my Bible. I read it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's more to reading the Bible, more to sowing the word than just reading the Bible. Who was it that, was it Khrushchev back in the 60s? He had read the entire New Testament. I may have the wrong person, but there was someone who had read the entire New Testament. Didn't change him. So just having the word does not change you. You got to do something with it. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Again, they did not trust the seed. They did not trust. Pastor, when he was talking about the Christian's greatest problem, and he was talking about the greatest problem, my mind went to this passage. Because our greatest problem is we read the Bible, but we don't believe what we read. We don't believe what we read. And if you don't believe what you read, then when persecution comes, when people come against you, disagreeing with what the Bible says, you're not going to fight for what the Bible says. Okay? So, again, they have the person who has no root in himself, has no root in himself, has no foundation. Why? Because he has ears, but he is not hearing. We're going to see this phrase again, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Look at verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Again, they did not trust the seed. They did not trust that the word would do for them what the word said it would do. And so the world came in and replaced the word. There are many of us in the body of Christ today that the world is replacing the word. We don't know it because we still go to church every Sunday. We still give our tithes and offerings. And so we think everything is good. But the world really is replacing the word of God. The world is replacing the word of God. And we're going to see this. Verse 20. And these are they, and the blank for verse 20 is they trusted the seed. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. Okay? These are the individuals who trusted the word, verse 21. And he said unto them, Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is not about to change the subject. This whole chapter is not a change in subject anywhere. So he's still talking about. He says, is a candle brought forth to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but it shall come abroad. Jesus has not changed the subject. He's still talking about the nature of truth and its inherent ability to shine. Okay? Light illuminates, parables illuminate. The parables speak, they share, the word has power of its own and grows. Our response, the measure of attention we use, is everything. It's everything. How much we give, paying attention to what the word says, doing what the word says, is everything. It's everything. Don't want to get ahead of myself. Look at verse 20. Verse 21, 22 again. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should not come abroad. What do we see in verse 23? If any man hath ears to hear. Let him listen, let him understand what I'm saying. Okay? Because he's just talked about the sower, sowing the word. Okay? And then in verse 20, we see how the word produced what it was supposed to produce because it was in the soil that allowed it to do so. And so what Jesus says is when you put the word in the soil that is allowed, that allows it to grow, to flourish, it's just like a candle that someone tries to put under a bush. But you can put a candle under a bush, and what's going to happen? It's going to burn its way through, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to burn its way through. And so Jesus said, that's the way the word of God is. As you sow it into your life, it's going to eventually bring forth what it's designed to produce. Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With whatever measure you meet, whatever measure, whatever thought, whatever time, whatever decisions you make in terms of obeying the word, following the word, doing the word, whatever you meet, it shall be measured unto you. So the amount of time, and everything is related to time. The amount of time that you spend sowing the word, putting the word in, it says it shall be measured back to you. In other words, the amount of time you put into spending time in the word, hearing the word, doing the word, it's going to pay dividends. It's going to pay dividends. What we have seen so far in the parable is that those who did not get to verse 20, they did not endure. They didn't endure, ladies and gentlemen. And see, they didn't endure because the word was not producing as quickly as they wanted it to produce. A seed has to grow. A seed has to grow. And we're going to see this in just a few minutes. You don't go plant a seed like we used to do when I was in grade school. They have like a little milk carton and put some soil in the milk carton and put a seed in there, and we'd wait for the seed to come out, for the seed to start sprouting. Okay, week, couple of weeks. It took time. But see, we think that just because we just read the word, speak the word, that it's just going to happen just like this. Remember, one of the reasons that the word did not produce it because there was no root in the person. There is no root in the person. There was nothing that allowed the word, the seed, to take root. And so the more that you spend time in the word, confessing the word, praying over the word, worshiping, all the four things we've taught to do, you're starting to build in you a place where the word can take root. You're building a place in you so that the root is in you, so the word can now sprout out of you. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. I want to make sure I stay faithful to my notes. This is not a statement on the character of Jesus. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We know this, right? This is a statement about the nature of truth and the consequences of refusing to listen. The nature of truth and the consequences of refusing to listen. This is what he's talking about. This is why you sow the seed and the seed does not come to fruition, because we are not paying attention to the seed. Okay? We are not listening. Look at verse 26. This is the second parable of the seed. And he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. Okay? So what are we seeing here? What we're seeing is the more we plant, the more we sow the seed, at some point, the seed is going to germinate and it's going to start budding in our lives. And verse 28, I smile when I read that, because Smith Wigglesworth was asked, how does one increase their faith? And the first thing he says, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corner of the ear. In other words, you plant the seed, you water the seed, you do what you need to do, and the first evidence of faith is going to be the blade. That's going to be the first evidence of faith you're going to see. And then you're going to get the other part. Then you're going to see the ear. In other words, your faith is going to grow the more you take care of the seed. Okay? In verse 28, in these passages, these verses, Jesus speaks of the seed as having power of his own. The disciples must learn to trust the power of the message they are spreading. The word has power all its own and will yield results in time. When we read the first seed parable, three out of four of the soils did not produce. Three out of four of the soils did not produce. Jesus is training the disciples to go out and sow the word. Okay? And so he's making it very clear. There are going to be more people, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. There are going to be more people who are going to reject you than accept you. That's what he's saying. There are going to be more people who are going to accept what you're saying more people who are going to reject what you're saying than who are going to accept what you are saying. My next question, ladies and gentlemen, who are the people doing the rejecting and who are the people doing the accepting? Us. Us. The body of Christ. That's who he's talking about. Three, if this parable, the first one, is any indication, three out of four people in the body of Christ are not going to accept, and I'm going to use this term, the full gospel. They're not going to accept the full gospel. The one of the four will accept the full gospel, and you will see it in that person's life. Jesus is telling his disciples, when you go out and you sow the word, this is how it's going to play out. Three out of four, using these numbers, the parable. Three out of four are not going to listen to you. They're not going to hear what you have to say because their ears are going to be closed on purpose. They're making a decision to close their ears. But then there's going to be the one person who is going to hear what you have to say, and they're going to run full bore with it. Three out of four in the body of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me ask you another question. Brother Bear, you got a lot of questions today. Do you think those three out of four believe that they are not the one? Do you think that they don't believe that they are the one who is walking in the full measure? No, they have no clue. They don't realize that they are part of the one, and I don't want to use this word, but it's the word that's coming to mind. They are failing when it comes to seeing the Word of God in their lives. Three out of four in the body of Christ. It is my belief, my prayer, my hope that I am talking to verse 20 folks here this morning and who will hear this. Verse 20 folks. Whether you've heard the word, you've listened to the word, and now you are bringing forth fruit. And if that does not describe who you are, then I pray that you do what's necessary so it does describe who you are. Okay? For the ear bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. You're going to see the results of your faith. Now we're going to read the third seed parable, verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? With what parable can we liken the kingdom of God, is what he's saying. What parable? And then he tells us, it is like a grain of mustard, and here's that word seed again, like the mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that can, less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now get the image of what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, the sower sows the word. Okay? And Jesus is saying also that the kingdom of God is like a man who sows the word. He goes to sleep, he wakes up, and he sees the word starting to evidence life. See, you don't know a seed is producing life until you see that first blade. Okay? So, he says the kingdom of God is like that seed that is starting to give life in you. When it is sown, when it is watered, and when you do what you're supposed to do, it's going to start bringing forth life in you. Okay? And then he says, what parable can we liken the kingdom of heaven? He says it's like a mustard seed. So he's talking about the seed in three different ways. He says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and there's nothing that I have on me that shows you how small the mustard seed is. But the mustard seed, once it's planted, once it's sown in the ground, watered, it grows. Faith grows. That's the image. The word will grow. The word will grow. The word will grow as long as you take care of it. Putting it on, watering it, the word will grow. And see, that should be a great encouragement to us, ladies and gentlemen. All those hours that we spend praying in tongues, confessing the word, and our minds are saying, I'm not seeing anything happening with what I'm doing. The word of God says, it's going to happen. But do you have the endurance? Are you willing to hang in there long enough to see it happen? Are you going to abort the mission? Are you going to abort the mission? No, you have to stay in there long enough to see it come to pass. Because what the word is doing primarily, that seed is working on you. The seed is growing, and as it grows, it's pushing out unbelief. That's what that seed is doing, pushing out unbelief. And the more it pushes out unbelief, the more your faith, the more the word is going to manifest in your life. If what Jesus says is true, and I believe, what he says is true, is you're going to see the blade, and then you're going to see the ear of corn, and then it's going to be a bushel. But you have to endure, ladies and gentlemen. You can't give up. I'm going to read Isaiah 55. It's a passage we're very familiar with. But like I said, this is a profound word of encouragement for those of us who are sowing. In Isaiah 55, a passage you're very familiar with, it says in verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. This is the word that has gone forth out of God's mouth. It says, it shall not return void. It shall not return without accomplishing what it's supposed to accomplish. It will not return without doing what I have already designed it to do. Now the question, ladies and gentlemen, is do we trust the seed to do what God says it's going to do? Do we trust the seed? Do we trust the word to do what God says it's going to do? That is always the question. Because everything in this world says God's word cannot be trusted. Everything does. Says God's word cannot be trusted. But whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what the word is constantly giving you? Or are you going to say, it doesn't matter what I see, it doesn't matter what I hear out here, all that matters is what I see and what I hear from this. That's all that matters. Ladies and gentlemen, for the Christian on the stony ground, that's not true. For the Christian who has by the wayside, that is not true. Going back to the parable that we read in Mark chapter 4. And for the Christian who is among the thorns, and it's interesting to me that the thorns, it's interesting to me that the thorns are things that wrap around you, that engulf you, that hold on to you, so that you cannot see what God is really doing in your life. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. How many of you ever heard of the singing group OJs? I may be one of the few people. Well, they had a song that says, money, 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 money. Yeah, the deceitfulness of riches. Money, money, money. It says the people who got it want to keep it. The people who don't got it want it. The deceitfulness of riches. Okay? Now let's wrap this up. We're talking about trusting the seed. Okay? If you are in a financial battle, Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You have to trust the seed. You have to trust what the seed has said. Okay? So it doesn't matter what it looks like right now, but what does the seed say? He says, you know, I have lived my life. And in my lifetime, I have never seen a person who is truly depending on God begging for bread. Never. You have to trust the seed, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? If you're battling an addiction, whatever it is, Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You have to trust the seed, no matter what it looks like. If you are confessing that over a person or over yourself, and it doesn't appear that you're seeing any results of that, trust the seed, ladies and gentlemen. God's word does not come back void. Trust the seed. If you are a parent with a wayward child, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he or she is old, he or she will not depart from it. Trust the seed. I want to point out something to you, ladies and gentlemen, in this verse. It says, train up a child. That word train is used four times in the Old Testament. Three of the four times it means dedicate. Dedicate. So, for you parents, you dedicate your child to God. And then you do what the dedication implies that you will do. You will feed them the word. 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 You will feed them with the word. Why? It does not come back void. No matter what it looks like the child is doing, you trust the seed. You trust the seed that it's going to produce, because this is my baby. I love my baby. And right now, my baby is not loving himself. But this is what the Word of God says. I have given my baby the Word. I have everything I can do, I have given the Word to my baby. And so I know I trust God's Word. It's not going to come back void. It is going to produce in my child's life what it's supposed to produce. I really like that word, dedicate. Because when it says that you train up a child, what the Bible is telling us, you cannot train up your child unless you are willing to give your child to God. You cannot train your child the way you're supposed to unless you are willing to give your child to God. How many of you remember the story of Hannah and Samuel? I think Hannah was her name. Samuel's mom. What did she do? She dedicated Samuel to God. Other than Moses, probably the greatest prophet in Israel. When you dedicate your child to God, praise God, he'll move heaven and earth to make sure that your child is going to be okay. Okay? If you are battling something in your body, Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word, his seed, and healed them. And not only did he heal them, he delivered them from their destruction. You have to trust the seed. Trust. You have to trust the seed, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what your body is telling you. You have to trust the seed. One of the things that we as Christians, we think we're trusting the seed, okay? But when the only thing you do when you're battling something, you say, God has healed me, and you don't say it again the rest of the day. That's not trusting the seed, ladies and gentlemen, because until you start getting it up here that what you are saying is true, you're not going to see the seed. You're not going to see that blade. You're not going to see that ear. You're not going to see the whole bushel, because you're just saying it one time and thinking that's enough. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But he who has ears, let him hear. Okay? If there is something you're battling or any of the other things I have read, you get to pacing. Father, I know that I am healed in Jesus' name. Father, I know that my baby has a calling on his life and he's going to fulfill that calling. I know that right now I'm battling financial issues, but you know what? That's in the past, God. You supply all my need according to your riches and glory. You get the pacing. 30 minutes, an hour, whatever you need to do. But just saying it one or two times is not going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. It is not. You know why it's not going to do it? Because when you say it one time, that is the measure you are meeting out. That is the measure you are meeting out. So with whatever measure that you meet, that is how much of the measure that's going to come back, because that's what the word is going to produce. One more. If you're battling depression, oppression, or something that seems to be weighing you down, Psalm 8:2 says, put my glasses on, these eyes are healed, by the way. I just wear the glasses because, you know, I just like them. They're pretty. Psalm 8:2 says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest silence, thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. And when he says steal the enemy, that means to shut him up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. La, 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 la. I don't want to hear it. That's what we're saying, okay? Now, when Jesus used this verse in Matthew chapter 21, verse 16, instead of saying, thou ordained strength, he said, thou hast perfected praise. Thou hast perfected praise. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're dealing with the emotions, praise is where it's at. You need to praise. Because when you start praising God, you are letting him know that, yeah, I know the circumstance I'm in. I know the things I'm battling. But you know what? I love you more. And I know that in you, all of these things are going to be taken, they're going to be taken care of. All of the other things that I read about, if you're battling this or you're battling that, add praise to it. Add praise to it. Because, see, the first thing praise does is shuts up. The devil is constantly whispering in your ear. Yang, 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 yang. Praise. Praise God. And shut him up. And see, we don't do enough of that either. We don't do enough of that either. I thought it was so neat when Pastor gave us a real nice, easy way to add more and more praise to our lives. He says, just when you're walking around, just praise under your breath. I love you, Lord. I give you all the praise and glory. You alone are worthy. And I just thank you for loving me the way you do. How hard is that? How hard is that to do that? But Brother Barry, I'm not shouting. I'm not having my hands raised up. So, you can't praise unless you're shouting or having your hands raised. This is what you're telling me. It's all about your heart, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about your heart. The title of the message, Trust the Seed. Trust the Seed. We have to trust the seed. As a child of God, we can't live any other way. We must believe that the seed, the word, will come to pass. And we stand on that word, we stand on that seed until we see it come to pass. We don't accept anything less. You know, I often talk about Stephen. And, you know, well, in terms of him, using him as examples. Stephen, I don't ever remember him coming to me concerned about having food in the refrigerator. He trusted my word. He trusted the seed. He trusted his dad. I don't ever remember him coming to me and being concerned about whether or not he's going to have heat in the wintertime, air conditioner during the summer. Never. But there was one time that he did say something. We're riding in the car, okay? And the measure for the gasoline was on 1/4 of a tank. Steven said, Daddy, we need gas. We need gas. You got to buy some gas. You going to buy some gas, Dad? You going to buy some gas? That's the only time he ever was concerned about anything. He wanted to make sure there was enough gas in the tank. I love telling that story. Because it just cracks me up. Of all the things he's concerned about, he's concerned about gas in the tank. And we're sitting in the driveway, right? We hadn't gone anywhere yet. We have to get to the point that when the Bible says that by his stripes I am healed, we trust the seed. when the Bible says, "For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus," we trust the seed. When the Bible says that I'm paraphrasing Isaiah, that no matter what the enemy does, if the enemy contends with you, he's contending with me, and he's going to have to fight me for your children. That's a paraphrase. We have to trust the seed. We have to trust the seed. And until we get to the point that we trust the seed, then we're going to be like the 3 out of 4 Christians who are not trusting the seed. My prayer for you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is that if you are not fully trusting the seed, that today will be the first day you'll start doing that. And that you will never have any doubts of that what the seed says is true. Not even if you're not seeing the results of it right now. You will have no doubts that what the seed says is true.